This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning to you and happy Friday. The weekend looms. Grant and Danny, no Danny, Pete hanging out one final day. Danny will be back from his vacation on Monday. Redskins, Jets, FedEx Field went out to the game last night. If you were one of the few in the crowd who not only showed up but stayed for all four quarters and saw the Dustin Hopkins game-winning boot in the waning seconds, good on ya. We'll be spending much of the show today delivering some takeaways, some thoughts on the game. Going to be busy. Cam Sims on the show at 10:30. You'll want to hear what he had to say about his breakout performance. Monte Nicholson is an important member of the Redskins starting secondary at 11:30. Tim Settle, who's had two straight strong preseason games on that defensive line at 1:30. And we got to go around the NFL at some point because Nate Sudfeld looked good. And the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver group is fantastic. But Pete, last night, Skins, Jets, a lot to chew on, my friend.
First of all, I believe you and Jay Gruden texted probably about 6 o'clock as you were adamant you really wanted Alex Smith to play, and I believe he took your advice at about 6 o'clock, changed his mind, and said, Alex, let's go play a possession. And you got exactly what you were hoping for, I thought, if you were Jay Gruden and a Redskin fan in that situation. You got to see Alex Smith, and you know what? He's exactly what has been advertised.
Yeah, he was sharp, and he looked, I thought, very effective, very good last night against the Jets starters. I don't know how good the Jets defense, how good the Jets are in general. The Redskins were the better team when it mattered last night over the first, certainly, quarter and first couple of quarters. But I think you saw what you wanted to out of the first-team offense, particularly in the passing game. Two things stood out. First, Alex Smith was very comfortable. Ball came out quickly to open receivers, and he was accurate, 4 for 6. Could have easily been 5 for 6 through a decent ball to Rob Kelly. Well contested, well defended. And it could have been 6 for 6 because Trey Quinn on a ball slightly behind him in the end zone easily could have made a catch for a touchdown to cap that first drive. But other than Smith being good, I think the other standout for me is that receivers were wide open. We saw our first catch from Paul Richardson on a well-designed little smoke to him to get going to start the game. You saw Josh Doctson run a really good route on a dig. Got basically to an open area of the field, throttled it down, took a big shot, made a catch. That was good to see and hopped right back up. He made a nice block downfield on a Vernon Davis grab when he was wide open for his only catch of the night. So the first team offense did what it needed to do. It drove the length of the field, got down into the red area, not able to cash in, but got points.
Third down and 8 as Marshall checks in as the third down back.
All right, 8-8. I said.
Smith. Over the middle and complete for a first down as he goes to Josh Doctson.
Plenty of time to throw, open target, hit him in stride. Everything was pretty on that 3rd and 9. The first team defense, Pete, I am not going to get overly excited yet, okay? It's just too early. We haven't seen enough. I think you can dream on this D-line a little bit. I really believe they've got a chance, and I have not said this in years. They've got a chance to have a really good defensive line. It took Daron Payne 3 snaps to blow me away. We talk about him as a space-eating, run-stuffer, double-team-attracting presence. Pete, how about the pass rush move on that swim to win one-on-one and completely demoralize Sam Darnold, who just broke down and said, take me.
And Sam Darnold, who is a mobile guy who can sidestep nicely, can step around the pocket, keep plays alive. He couldn't get away from the big fella. And as we talked about, look, I don't care what the definition is of the Redskins front office or whatever. What they've done here in the offseason and arriving at Daron Payne at that pick, look at the difference that's going to make. When you have pressure up the middle, Grant, your outside pass rushers now have more of a target because that quarterback cannot step up into the pocket. Darnold was as good as anybody in college football at moving around, keeping plays alive. not going to be a 4-5 sprinter and run away from a lot of people, but his wiggle in the pocket, his ability to get away is impressive. He's been able to do it. But when you have guys that have that push up the middle like that, that makes your outside pass rushers have a target. That target stays in place. That makes your pass rush even more effective. And you have a three-man potential rotation there where there is not much drop-off, at least from what we've seen in performance, between Allen, Payne, and Settle. And the best part is, in theory, you hope that that's going to keep those guys healthy because they don't have to play as many snaps, which is going to keep them healthy and fresh during the course of a game.
And now Powell motions back in. Let's see if Ryan Kerrigan comes after Darnold again. Pressure, and Darnold goes down. That was Deron Payne, the first rounder himself out of Alabama, who could be a big impact player for Washington.
Love Deron Payne, number 95. Quick, athletic, the ability to make the inside move. It's just like a crossover dribble in basketball, Joe. The inside move from a defensive tackle, he's going to be a really good one.
The voices of the new Monday Night Football crew, Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarland, down on the sideline last night calling color on ESPN. Two drives for the first team defense, 15 plays and 42 yards, including the three and out to open the game. Good tackle by Swearinger, great pressure by Kerrigan, and that sack to end the drive by Payne. I liked what I saw from John Allen, who had a TFL in the game, but here's how the D-line rotation is going to have to go. You're going to need a veteran. I don't really yet know if Stacy McGee makes the roster or Ziggy Hood makes the roster. I don't think you keep both of those guys, but you keep six. Payne, Allen, Ioannidis, and Settle are four of the six, unequivocally. Anthony Lanier should absolutely be the fifth. That is a slam dunk. Write that in pen. So then either you keep seven with Hood and McGee, or you keep one of those two guys as the leader of that room. I'd probably prefer Ziggy Hood, who's been more reliable and on the field more often. But they did sign Stacy McGee. Do you really want to cut both of your free agent additions from a year ago? You've already cut Terrell McClain. I'm not sure about that. To the running back position real quick. We didn't get any more clarity because Samaje Perine got hurt on his only carry of the game. But it was a damn good carry. 30 yards with burst, showed some acceleration that we didn't see a lot of last year. He had a small crevice, and he got through it before contact. Had a big block from a tight end as well, which was good to see. That doesn't happen a whole lot in this offense. I guess if I have a takeaway from the running backs, there was one carry from Rob Kelly for like 4 yards that I did really like. It was his longest carry of the night. But he was 4 for 17. Kind of more of the same from him. I'm still waiting on anything that makes me think I get what they see. I see why they like Rob Kelly. But that said, Perine maybe could win this job based on Kelly not doing a whole lot if he was on the field last night. He had one run, and then you had Byron Marshall put a ball on the carpet on a kickoff. Luckily, he was down by contact. He got banged up and left with an injury as well, had to get an MRI, and supposedly both running backs will be okay. We'll see. We thought that about Darius Geis as well. But you saw a lot of Capri Bibbs last night.
Look, when you look at that group in particular, if you can't stay on the field, and that's a concern for me right now, with anybody that can't stay on the field overall, how can you make the club? Bibbs wasn't exactly stellar in his rushes. He's a great pass catcher. That's been defined last year and this year. That guy can catch the ball, get up the field. You love his tendencies in that position. At some point, though, here is my comparison to you. Martez Carter had a play that was designed to go between right guard and right tackle.
Real quick, let me say, because people may not know, many of them didn't watch the second half. Martez Carter is a 5'7" kid from Grambling State who's not going to make the roster, but who can run a little bit. And in his first two carries, wowed everyone in the
great
stadium.
Great in open space against scrubs, but here's my point. He had a play that was designed to go between right guard and right tackle. Quickly discerned that hole was not there because there wasn't much there behind that second and third offensive line last night. He quickly bounces it outside left tackle and goes for 20-plus yards. Rob Kelly's not making that play. He's going to plow between right guard and right tackle, except the 2 yards, 3 yards at luck at most he might get. Might get no gain on that play. He's not bouncing it outside the way Carter did last night. He's not banging through that hole the way Perine did and accelerating away from guys for 30 yards the way Perine did on that play. So if you're happy with the guy that's going to plod along and get whatever the hole gives him on that play and be happy and content with that, then that's fine. that's fine. Until he shows me some acceleration and runs away from people, I just think guys like P. Ryan are a step ahead overall at that position in terms of ability, in my opinion, unless there's some intangible things that occur during practice and in games that we're not privy to that they see, which is why they like him potentially ahead of a Samaje Perine at this point.
Yeah, last night, Perine had 1 for 30. Kelly had, I've said 4 for 17. It was actually 7 for 17. He averaged 2.4 per carry, which is about where he was for much of last season, save for one big game. Bibbs, 5 carries for 6 yards, only 1.2. So it's not like they ran the ball effectively last night. Byron Marshall had 2 attempts and rushed for all of 1 yard. The only guy who really had any success was the aforementioned Martez Carter against dudes who are not going to be in the NFL. Quick take on Sam Darnold. I actually really liked him. Accurate. Didn't do a whole lot necessarily. Didn't stretch the field in any way. Again, I don't know how good the Jets are going to be. I look at them and I see 6-10, basically. 5-11, perhaps. But 8-11. Didn't make any bad decisions other than that one fourth down throw where he got beat by DeShazer Everett, dropping into space and batting a ball into the air. And Troy Apke, with great closing speed, showed why he was one of the fastest 40-time runners at his position at the Combine. But Darnold looked like an NFL starter to me. I don't think you would have watched that game and said, wow, how is this guy the first stringer for the New York Jets? So that was good to see for them. And then the Redskins are in a good place from a specialist standpoint. This is not sexy. This won't get us ratings. But real quick, Dustin Hopkins going 5 for 5 on field goals. No competition in camp. Tressway, 4 punts, including a 57-yarder. This is the first time in a long time with this group. Sundberg, Way, Hopkins, and this has been a couple-year run with these guys now, other than the Hopkins injury last year, where you really don't have to worry a whole lot about kicking, punting, snapping, and that's a really good sign. I mean, that's what the good teams have, which is nice. Let's do this next. We got a couple-minute conversation. You'll hear from Cam Sims coming up, who really helped his cause last night at 10:30. Let's open up the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines for the first time today at 800-636-1067 next on Grant and Danny. Pete's hanging out. We want to hear from you on who you liked, who stood out, what you liked about last night, or disliked for that matter. Some game balls, some gassers, if you will, preseason style. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Here's the screen, the Bibbs. Bibbs with plenty of room. Inside the 25, Washington on the go. 29 yards from Bibbs.
Joe, sometimes it's just a great play call against the defense. The New York Jets are bringing Jamal Adams off the left side. They have a screen call, perfect play, and Bibbs gets in the open field.
But it's the job he did acting there that set it up. He went right at him to think that he was going to block him.
A little taste of the Monday Night Football crew making its debut last night. What'd you think of Tessitore, McFarland, Witten? I obviously didn't get to watch the game being at FedEx Field. But I will say I love the idea of ESPN. They've got McFarland, who's the de facto number three in the broadcast crew, on the sideline. And I've never seen this before. They've got him about 15 feet off the ground where the camera person is in a chair.
And he said he didn't know that before the game. He didn't know that he was going to be that high up.
Wow. I bet he thought he was just standing on the sideline.
He said, I'm just not looking down.
So they've got a guy that drives back and forth in a little cart on the sideline. And he's, I would say, basically like sitting, about 18, 15 feet off the ground. He's at the line of scrimmage, which helps him with his vision, which is cool. And then they've got a flat screen that's probably about 42 inches big for the fans behind him that are being blocked by his view. So right behind him is a big TV for the people who might be getting blocked in the crowd, which is kind of
neat. It's the same cart that you see going up and down the sidelines because the networks have always had a cameraman on that cart.
The camera's right next to him.
And now that this is in addition to that camera on the same cart. So it's not two different ones. It's all one apparatus. I think it's a nice move by ESPN to put a color analyst in a much better situation because McFarland loved the angle, raved about that angle and the vantage point that he had during the course of the game last night.
That play that you just heard coming in, the Bibbs screen, that was just a Jay Gruden win. Those yards, you know, those will go down statistically for Capri Bibbs. If Rob Kelly caught that pass, he'd have gotten the same amount, or Byron Marshall or Samaje Perine, who was lucky enough to be on the field. It was the perfect play call against the perfect defense, a well-designed screen with some blockers out in front. We want your takeaways at 800-636-1067. Who and what did you like? I'll throw a couple names at you. Cam Sims, you'll hear an interview with him coming up in about 10 minutes. He's a pretty neat kid, so check that out a little after 10:30, start of next segment. Cam Sims helped himself on a night where he dropped a couple passes and one ball hit him in the hands and went for an interception, which is crazy. This team has had so many problems in the red zone finding assets and weapons. He's 6'4", 212 pounds. He runs a 4.5 40. The size and the speed alone makes him intriguing. The camp he's had makes you really think maybe he should be on the roster. He's now made enough plays over 2 weeks that he'd make my 53. The catch in the end zone that was called back that would have been a touchdown last night where he took a massive shot in the ribs in traffic, fell to the ground and hung on to the football, is a catch that the Redskins haven't had a guy make in a long time. The only guy on this roster who can make that catch is Josh Doctson, but I wouldn't bet on it based on the drop against Kansas City and some of what we've seen with him being up and down over the last couple of years. That isn't to say that Doctson's not an immensely better player than Cam Sims, but I loved that catch. The high point reception in traffic to set up the game-winning field goal was big. He had another sideline route where he went up and got it over a DB. I just like size and the ability to run. Seems like he's got decent hands, although he had an off night last night. Went for 57 yards to lead all players. I thought he helped himself.
What I cared about was the fact that from watching some of the postgame stuff and reading some of the postgame stuff is that he made more of a deal about the drop in the end zone and showing that he cared about that as opposed to, look at me, I caught, you know, four or five balls. I should make the team. I'm doing my job. I was happy to see that. And that comes back to that Alabama work ethic. And I think that's where that comes from. Your coach, well, you go back and look at the national championship game. You've got Calvin Ridley on that team, but Cam Sims makes a couple of the biggest plays of the game in the passing game for Alabama. It's a guy that I think understands the position, has, as you mentioned, size that you just can't go out and create that guy. He gives you something that you don't have when you look around the field and gives them another potential red zone option. Say if you had an opportunity with Jordan Reed, Doctson, who's got decent size, and Sims, who's got even more size. I mean, you're giving your quarterback even more opportunity to succeed in a situation like that in a red zone offense in the past, Grant, that has shown us it does sputter for whatever reason.
I just think you are not good enough in the red zone to look a 6'4", big-bodied receiver who goes up and gets the football in the mouth and say no thank you. And that's why he'd make my roster. Now, would he get a jersey on game day? Not initially, probably, but he's a guy I want in the program. Speaking of receivers, Trey Quinn helped himself last night. He made two really good catches. Back shoulder throw from Colt McCoy, sliding grab one other time, and his first punt return went for 23 yards. I think you could have six receivers make the roster with him and Cam Sims being fifth and sixth in some order respectively, because we know who the top four guys are at this point. Paul Richardson, Josh Doctson, and Jamison Crowder are your top three, and those are the guys that will be on the field the most. With Reed and Davis, most of your four and five receiver sets are going to involve one or two of those guys anyway. The depth behind your big three is going to be largely unproven and very much young, but we've seen at corner the Redskins aren't afraid of that. Maurice Harris, and then you could go Trey Quinn and Cam Sims. The only other thing you could do is cut one of those guys and keep Brian Quick. But as of right now, I'm leaning toward keeping certainly Sims. I'm waiting and seeing on Quinn, but I really liked what I saw last night. And then defensively, Tim Settle's on the show today at 1:30. How can you have watched these last two games and not thought Tim Settle from Virginia Tech is an NFL defensive lineman?
He's looking more like a steal based on where they got him as well.
Spencer Long last night, longtime Redskins starter. Pete, he's going to start for the Jets. They paid him good money.
I know.
He was in against Tim Settle. Settle was playing against the starting offensive line and driving dudes into Sam Darnold's lap. There was a three-play sequence where he had a batted ball, drove Spencer Long so deep into the pocket that Darnold had to move laterally off his mark. And if Smith is rushing or Kerrigan's rushing, it might be a quarterback hurry or hit or a sack. Instead, he ended up eluding the rush and making a throw. But on the third play in that sequence, he got cut, was on the ground on his stomach, and like a burpee, hopped right back up and went and made the tackle down the line of scrimmage. I am falling for Tim Settle a little bit right now.
Well, again, I come back to the fact that we were talking about a guy from Alabama before. They clearly have a liking of Virginia Tech guys. You trust what Bud Foster and Virginia Tech do to prepare players. And, you know, you see that drill where guys fall on the ground and push themselves and get back up quickly. That's why you do that drill. And Settle is showing you, I think there were some questions about not necessarily commitment, but effort all the time. He's certainly putting all of those questions to bed so far in his first two preseason appearances.
Let's get to the calls. David's in Tyson's. Grant and Danny Pete's in today. David, what'd you think last night?
Hey, guys. You know, a lot to be encouraged about, especially, you know, you guys alluded to the defensive line. I mean, I think that's going to be such an improved unit. And, you know, it was awesome seeing Deron Payne just literally jump off the screen at you. He might be something really special. The other thing, too, that I just was extremely frustrated about is just, like, what is going on with Rob Kelly? Like, I don't even think this guy belongs on anyone's 53-man roster. Up to this point, I've seen nothing, you know, that suggests that. And I just don't understand why Gruden is so high on him. And if Kelly is the day one starter going in to game one against Arizona, like, I'm going to be a little bit nervous about that.
Well, he's going to be the day one starter, it looks like, particularly after the Perine injury. Thank you for the call. Here is the difference between Gruden's opinion of Rob Kelly and my opinion of Rob Kelly. And Gruden's way smarter than I am. No one's disputing that. Gruden.
Oh, man, I love Rob Kelly like a piece of chocolate cake, man. Oh, man, brother. Give me a Slim Jim, brother. Oh, man.
Me. What? Why? Rob Kelly this preseason, 11 rushes, 23 yards. Now, you can't base things on preseason numbers.
Oh, man, I love Rob Kelly.
I know you do, Jay. I just don't get why, bro. Look back at the 14 carries, 18 yards against Seattle. 8 carries, 19 yards against Dallas. 7 carries, 16 yards against Philly. Other than the Rams game that everyone references, when, by the way, Pete would have rushed for 76 and I would have rushed for 49. I'm giving you a few more cuts and ability to make some break some tackles. Here is his rushes per carry last year. 3.0, 3.3, 2.3, 2.4, 1.3, 2.5. I'm reading a book called Astro Ball about the analytics department of the Astros helping them win the World Series. I don't want to be some numbers robot, right? There's more to it than that. At some point, I need you to do something. I need you to show me something. I need a full game. You keep telling me about the Rams. He got hurt, like he always does, by the way, at halftime of that game. Or else he would have rushed for 100 once last year. Yeah, he would have. That's probably true. He didn't. I got to get something out of you, dude, if I'm going to feel good about this. 800-636-1067 is the number. Who and what did you like last night? Who and what didn't you like? We're going to get to your calls hot and heavy next segment. Plus, quick little couple-minute conversation with Cam Sims. If you haven't heard from him yet, I think you'll like his personality. This is a hungry guy, and he was, what's the word that John Allen used at training camp? Bama-nized, I believe. He is Bama-proof, as you will hear, because he's got some Nick Saban to him. Brent and Danny Pete's in on the Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Pete just told me free large fries for everybody after the Nats scoring 5 runs last night. Nobody keeps me more up to speed on what I can get for free from the Nationals than Pete Medhurst.
Got to have the app, though. Download the app today. McDonald's, our good friends who advertise with us here.
Grant and Danny.
Win or lose, by the way, so that's a good thing if they score 5 runs.
On the Fan, talking Redskins-Jets from last night. Rich Tandler of NBC Sports Washington will stop by at 11. We will get to your calls on who and what you liked from last night. We'll continue to mow through last evening's game and break a bunch of the things down that we saw. But Cam Sims was the star of the night. Made the big catch to set up the game-winning field goal. Had a ridiculous touchdown catch called back. I caught up with him in the locker room, asked him about what it was like to be the star of a game in an NFL stadium.
Crazy. I mean, I guess it comes with it when you make plays. So it's shocking. That's what I can say.
You had such a banner game last week, and then you had the early play that you want back. I'm sure it hits you in the hands. The response, though, to catch the touchdown that came back, the 20-yarder set up the game winner. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like maybe you proved more going through the adversity you went through the night than even in a game where everything goes well?
Of course, because that's all you learn from Alabama, adversity. Coach always saying adversity. You go through adversity throughout the game. So when I came up here and I had adversity, I knew to just bounce back from it.
I get that the play came back, but they've had red zone problems here for a while, and they haven't had big threats they could throw to in the end zone to take the shot you did and catch a touchdown. What do you think that says about you and your skill set?
Nah, it don't say nothing about me, for real. It just showed the quarterback got trust in me to make a play like that, throwing in traffic and just coming down with it. So he just trusts me a lot, and I just want to thank Coach for trusting me.
Going back to Alabama, you played on some really good teams with some really good receivers, but you never got a chance really to shine like some of these guys at other schools that go catch 100 balls. If you look at your numbers, you didn't get the ball thrown to you a whole lot. But tell me about your role and kind of what that experience was like. You could have gone somewhere else maybe and been more of a focal point.
I mean, I wasn't worried about that in Alabama. I was just whatever coach needed me to do, I was there to do it. He told me to do this, I'm gonna be the first one to do it. What is called? I don't even know the word for it right now, but if he needed me, he knew I was there for it, to do it.
For you, did you know I still will get my chance in the NFL because of my size and my speed and my skill set? Like, what gave you the confidence if you're only going to catch 15, 16 balls that, hey, the Redskins are still going to give me that shot?
Like I said, work. If you keep working, somebody go notice you working and notice your talent. So, like, just keep working, and they gave me a shot, and I can't let them down.
Lastly, a night like tonight helps, but obviously every day is a kind of another audition.
Yeah.
How do you feel like your chances are right now to crack the squad?
I really don't know. I dropped that pass. I dropped two.
Caught a couple nice ones too.
I don't care about that. I care about them too. I dropped. I really don't know.
That's Cam Sims from the locker room after his 57-yard performance last night. Jay in D.C., you're on Grant and Danny. What'd you like from last evening for the Redskins?
Great job this week, Mr. Matt Hurst. I've been loving you hearing you on the radio. Also, Grant, like, I think if you ask anybody, Craig, any of the beat guys, McGee is going to start on the pup. Like, I mean, I don't even think he's running right now.
He isn't, but I don't believe he was placed on the pup. I think he was at camp, wasn't he?
On the pup list. He's been on the pup list, like, since camp started.
Oh, okay. Was he on the pup? I got to look that up.
Yeah, and he's gonna start on the pup throughout the season. Everybody, you can ask any of the beat guys. They all know that.
Well, that's not true, because I was talking to him in the press box last night, and a few of them speculated he's getting cut.
Really? Even though he's on the pup? Why wouldn't they just stay on the pup?
If he's on the pup, then I'm with you. I think he would stay on the pup.
Yeah, I'm on Redskins like right now, and it says he's on the pup list. But,
okay, I'll take your word for it.
My highlight, I love that defensive line, man. I feel like we're like four deep. Settle, like, he has a lot of talent. If he can just stop falling down so much, even though he's getting up really quickly, he falls down really quickly. Man, he's got the talent. He's really young, and he's going to just get better. We're four deep right there. And I just want to give a shout out to Andre Pipkins. I know he's not going to make the team, but I mean, he made a tackle like 18 yards down the field while someone was still trying to block him. I mean, I think we got a serious depth at that D-line.
I'm with you, man. The D-line is the best that I can remember it being in years. And that goes way back before I was on the beat in 2010 for four seasons with Shanahan. That's just being around this football team going back to 99. It's young talent, too. Now, that's risky, Pete. I mean, because you're going to have guys that go up and down and maybe go through a rut here or there. I understand that Allen had an injury history and that Deron Payne missed a little time in training camp. So you can say, well, between those two guys, Matt Ioannidis, who was hurt last year and already hurt again this preseason, maybe there's some health concerns. I think most teams have that. You're talking about 320-pound dudes banging into people all the time. They have really potential-laced options, 1 through 5 on their defensive line depth chart. I love that. That's been years since you could say
that. It's a savage position in the game because, as I've said all along, and I reiterated this the other day when we were talking about these guys, in the trenches, you get guys cutting you from angles you don't even see coming. The brutality of the position, people are going to get hurt, which is why you need to have this kind of depth, which is what excites you, because not only do you have depth, but the ceiling of this depth is still not even close to being tapped with any of these guys. That's what makes you excited about the flashes you're seeing right now in preseason performance from a lot of these guys.
Let's go to Dave in Laurel, wants to chime in on what he liked last night. What's up, Dave?
Good morning, GP and Pete.
What's going
hey,
on, buddy?
Listen, man, you guys really touched on it already. De'Ron Payne and Jonathan Allen, those young dudes remind me of Stubblefield and Young in San Francisco. Not the Stubby that came here that was fat and happy and already had his money. The Stubby and Young in San Francisco, because he, like Pete just said, they're young. They're going to have their ups and downs. But at the same time, these pups are not trying to fit in and see what they can do. Like you can see, they're trying to run the yard already. And like you said, GP, I'm loving that, man. We ain't had that in I don't know how long.
Well, yeah, the other thing is, too, Dave, appreciate the call. It's not like these dudes are randoms, and we're sitting here saying after two games of Matt Ioannidis is a fifth-round pick, this guy can play. John Allen was a blue chipper coming out of Alabama, one of the top recruits in the country out of Stonebridge High School, who had a good college career, who a lot of people thought was a top five pick before he fell into the Redskins' lap. De'Ron Payne, similarly, was a mid-first-round pick. These are lottery pick types. Rock is in Annapolis. Hey, Rock.
Yes, I'm on that train also. We got to keep those four young defensive linemen healthy. I love that defense, the way they play. They even got some run for a long time. But, again, the offense. I know Gruden is scared of the injuries and everything. But we could have got this last week, and they could have grew on this week. And it showed in some of the throws that Smith had. You know, he could have had a touchdown with Quinn, but it was a little behind him. I know he didn't run his route the way he should have, but they could have grew on this, man. You know, I just didn't like the offense, but the defense, we got to keep the young four healthy. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Rock. Smith was 4 for 6. They did march right down the field, and there was only that one drive to base it off of, where they moved the ball with ease until the red zone, which was obviously a theme too often last season. They got to score touchdowns this year. Ideally, their defense will be good enough to keep them in games if they are kicking field goals like last night. But last year it wasn't, and generally the case is if you don't score 6, you're going to be in some trouble. 800-636-1067, want your reactions to preseason game 2. Also got to hit on Nate Sudfeld next. People are suddenly saying the Redskins made a mistake by letting him go. A little too early to say that or not. We can get into that on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Got to tell you guys about the newest destination for sports enthusiasts and high-performance athletes in the area. It's called the St. James. It's going to be really amazing. It opens Saturday, September 15th, you got to be there. This place is impressive. In fact, they got 2 NHL-sized rinks so amazing that Alex Ovechkin stopped by to check them out. They've got a massive field house for soccer, lacrosse, football, rugby, and field hockey. Brand spanking new basketball and volleyball courts. Baseball, softball, golf, squash, even gymnastics, if that's your thing. Oh, and an aquatic center with an indoor interactive water park Michael Phelps would enjoy. For all you athletes, young and old, there are learn-to-play and developmental programs, skills training, top-notch coaches, and competitive teams and leagues in 30-plus sports. There's even summer and holiday camps for the kids. It really is the perfect destination for a family. The St. James is opening Saturday, September 15th. Do yourself a favor. Go to the website. Check it out, thestjames.co. Take advantage of one of their exclusive offers if you sign up today for some of their sports programming. thestjames.co. Not much clarity at the running back position last night. Piran, one big carry, and then he got hurt. Kelly, not doing a whole lot. Bibbs and Marshall, limited action as ball carriers. I'm getting a couple of tweets from people who are worried, though, and saying the Redskins should kick the tires on a veteran running back after Rob Kelly's performance.
Who?
I mean, they're naming Adrian Peterson, who's in his mid-30s. No, thank you. DeMarco Murray, who's 30 this season. No, thank you. Kelly, 11 carries, 23 yards this preseason. I'm fine with the running backs they have. I think that they're good. I am worried about their durability, though. Because Piran last year got hurt off and on, and Kelly's always hurt. And Bibbs and Marshall have never really had big workloads. Marshall went down last night. I'm waiting to hear what his status is for the dress rehearsal next week. Logan's in Denver on Grant and Danny. Pete's in for Danny. What's up, Logan?
All right. Hey, how you guys doing? I just wanted to call in and just touch on 7 of the young guys. Danny Johnson had the would-be forced fumble last night. I think the refs called forward progress too early to stop the play. Could have easily killed momentum and morale, but the very next play is when Apke got the pick, and what a pick he had. Trey Quinn, you know, a couple good catches. You guys are going to touch on Cam Sims. But, I mean, he had some tough catches in double coverage. Tim Settle deflected pass. And Montez Carter looked like a little Le'Veon Bell back there for two plays. Thanks, guys.
He did. He made some nice little cuts. It was funny. He came into the game, and I'm going to be 100% honest with you. I have heard about him literally one time in my entire life, and it's because someone tweeted me like a week ago and was like, I can't wait to see Martez Carter. And I thought, I don't know who that is, but good for you, I guess.
Jay actually spoke very highly of him in OTAs.
But what's he going to do? I mean, you should. He's 5'7". What's not to like? He's from Grambling State, and he's playing in the NFL. I don't know anyone that's got that profile that people are going, I don't think that highly of that guy. That said, his first run was epic. I mean, it was
the
great.
Vision he showed.
Yes.
As I told you earlier, the play's designed to go between right guard and right tackle. He quickly discerned with his vision that hole wasn't there. He then jump cuts it, bounces it outside left tackle, runs for 20-plus yards. And as I said earlier this hour, Rob Kelly's not making that cut, not making that acceleration, not making that gain in that situation. He's just going to plow it between right guard and right tackle and hope to get 2 or 3 yards if he's lucky.
I was sitting in row two of the press box. So I don't remember who said this because I was with like
JP a lot of
Finley
people in the press box, Grant, last
yeah,
night.
Craig
some
Hoffman.
Should have been there and some shouldn't.
Ben Standing was sitting next to me, a bunch of dudes that cover the team. And one of the guys goes, we got our preseason hero. And it was after his second touch of the game. But I had that Marcus Mason feel where, like,
absolutely,
oh, we're going to be getting calls on this guy for sure. He had two really nice plays.
When they tried to run him inside, he went nowhere.
Correct. But when he bounced it out with the vision of a back I've never seen before, it was pretty amazing. Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Grant, Pete. Yeah, just on the D-line, I cannot remember a young and talented D-line for the Redskins like this one since, Dexter was in his third year. Charles Mann was a rookie. Gerald Grant was in his third year. And Dave Butts was in his prime and what honestly should be a Hall of Fame career. That was the last time we had a D-line like this. And I'm not saying this D-line is like that one. Okay, that's high. But we've had nothing like that D-line since this one came about. So that's encouraging. But what's discouraging is, has anyone seen Anthony Lanier? What happened to Anthony Lanier?
He has been extremely quiet. I don't know how much he's played, to be honest with you. I'd have to go back. I'm guessing here. I'm not speaking from numbers that I have in front of me. I'm not sure if he's playing a ton in these games. He's on the roster. So he's not going to play a whole lot in the second half. He's not a starter, per se, so he doesn't start the games. My guess is he's probably gotten some action in, like, the second quarter, maybe a tiny bit in the third quarter. But he's in a weird limbo spot, like a Pete Robertson type, where you're going to be on the roster. You're not a starter. So you're between the two areas where you either play at the beginning or for the whole second half. That is my concocted white lab jacket reason for why you haven't noticed very much. But I'll give you another guy in that boat. Where's Ryan Anderson?
Yeah.
I noticed him on the field last night in the second half when a linebacker who I had very little file on before last evening made a sack. The Redskins have a kid from NC State who had two sacks last night, who actually I thought really impressed in the second half, named Jared Fernandez. But on a play where he had the first of his two sacks, Ryan Anderson was on the field. And he's playing dudes with the Jets who aren't going to make the roster, I would think, as his second year, second round pick for Washington. And he was not noticeable at all. If not for going, oh, that's Ryan Anderson's number. Oh, that is Ryan Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have known he was on the field. That's a problem. I'm a little bit worried at this point. We're halfway through preseason number two. Has he made one play that stood out to you in these two games?
That stood out, no. Had a tackle last night. But, again, I mean, in a situation, as I told you yesterday, my concern about Ryan Anderson coming into the NFL was he was a speed rusher who used leverage as an undersized outside rusher against stiff tackles in the college game and made a name for himself. Also, what helped him? He had mammoth defensive linemen inside of him who were pushing the pocket up the middle. Grant, what happens? What did I say earlier? That makes your quarterback a sitting duck. He has nowhere to go but left or right, right into the hands of a waiting defensive end or outside linebacker. And I think Anderson benefited a ton from those guys on the interior at Alabama. My concern was he was always going to get swallowed up by bigger, more athletic tackles that you see on the NFL level, and that has kept him from having the same flash at the pro level that he did at the college level. And I'm not sure that's something that his physical package, Grant, will allow him to ever overcome at the NFL level.
You know who loved Ryan Anderson was Scott McLuhan. McLuhan, that's one of the guys he kind of stuck a flag in the ground and took a little credit for as being on his board. And I remember talking to him after the draft about how much he loved Ryan Anderson. So, you know, we know that he's a mark for Matt Jones. That hasn't worked out. It's not like you're going to bat 1,000, obviously. But I wonder if he ends up being on that pile. It's a little bit early, and he was out of shape last year, and it was a lost season with injury and some different problems he had to overcome. But he's got to start showing something at some point. Rich Tandler of NBC Sports Washington at 11. We didn't get to any of the NFL items we wanted to outside of last night's Redskins-Jets game. Among them, Nate Sudfeld looking really good for the Eagles. The Nick Foles injury, what might they do in week one? The Steelers wide receiver core being the best in football. So we will push that about 25 minutes to 11:18 or so. Tandler on the Redskins next. Is Cam Sims going to make the roster? What about Trey Quinn? Is there a chance that the Redskins keep all of these kid defensive linemen who looked good in the second half last night? You're listening to D&D Pizza for Dave.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.